Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose him and bring him. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. And they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Very often in life, we can learn lessons from the most unlikely sources. Proverbs 6, verse 6, teaches us that principle. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise. Now, I'm going to bring that principle over into our text today. Today, we're going to go to a donkey. We're going to look at the donkey in the text and see what lessons that we can learn. This is not just any donkey that we're going to look at today. This is a donkey spoken of by a prophet. Look at Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. He's lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This donkey was prophesied by Zechariah. This was a donkey that had a mission. This was a donkey that the Lord needed. Look what it says in Mark 11:3. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. The Lord had need of that donkey. And the Lord is still using little donkeys today to get his work done on earth. Look to the ant. Look to the donkey. What can we learn? He's using little donkeys like you and like me. Let's look at this donkey. Let's look to the donkey. Let's learn some lessons. First of all, the donkey had to be redeemed. Turn to Exodus 13, verse 13. The donkey had to be redeemed. Exodus 13, verse 13. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of men among your sons you shall redeem. So here's the firstborn of the donkey. Has to be redeemed before the donkey could be used for God's purposes. The same is true of us. In our natural state, We're dead in our sins and trespasses. So what has to take place? We have to be redeemed in our natural state. We're God's enemies. Christ redeems us. Now we're God's friends. In our natural state, we're given over to the lust of the flesh. But now that we've been redeemed, now we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to the lust of the flesh. In our natural state, before we were redeemed, we're under the condemnation of God. Now we're under the justification of God because of Christ redeeming us. In our natural state, the scripture says that we were useless and separated from God. I know that many don't like to hear that today. It's not popular in our world today. But Isaiah 59 verses 2 and 3 says this: but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. So all of us need to be redeemed. As I said, that was our natural state. That may be how the Lord found us, but that's not the way that the Lord left us. He redeemed us. How did he redeem us? Turn to Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So he redeems us, like the donkey was redeemed with the blood of the lamb. Well, Christ redeems us by giving his life. Not only did he give his life, he delivered us from the penalty of sin. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We have redemption through his blood, the blood of the lamb. The donkey had to be redeemed by the blood of the lamb. And then we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He saved us, he delivered us, and he bridged the gap between us and him. Look at Ephesians 2. We needed to be redeemed before we could be used. Ephesians 2:13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. We were at war with God. Jesus Christ died for us, reconciled us to his Father. That is the reason that you and I now can be used for the Lord's purposes. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, even as the donkey was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now we are a masterpiece of God's, as it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are a masterpiece of God. Christ told his disciples where they would find the donkey tied up. Go back to Mark 11:2. So we have the donkey being redeemed by the blood. We have ourselves being redeemed by the blood. So Christ tells his disciples that he would find it tied, the donkey. 11:2. Mark 11:2. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. They were to loose it and to bring it. The donkey was bound, and the donkey needed to be set free before Christ could use it. It's the same thing with each and every one of us. Before we were saved, Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3 tells us this: in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The donkey had to be loosed and set free. You and I needed to be loosed and to be set free. Jesus Christ delivers us from not only the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. He gives us a new desire to follow Him, to serve Him, to be zealous of good works. He makes us new creatures. He moves in, He takes up residence, and He frees us from sin, self, and Satan. The donkey in our text had to, first of all, be redeemed. Secondly, he had to be released. And this is the struggle right here where we're like donkeys. Redeemed, released, and that donkey needed to be ruled. Mark 11:2 tells us that the donkey had never been broken to ride. It was needful of a master. It was wild, yet it submitted to Christ and yielded to His control. The donkey wasn't frightened by the crowds, wasn't frightened by the noise. He was simply surrendered to the Lord. And that is exactly what Christ says about us. Paul appeals to us in Romans 12. You've been redeemed, you've been released, and now there's one thing that we are more stubborn than a donkey, and that's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, beseech. Paul said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, brethren, brothers and sisters, I'm begging you by the mercies of God, because of God's mercy towards you, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Redeemed, released, and ruled. We have to be ruled by Jesus Christ. Let's face the truth. Some people just downright have a problem with authority. First of all, authority in the home. The husband has authority in the home. You say that today? Misogynist. You're a misogynist. The scripture says the husband is had to have authority in the home. Ephesians 5, verse 23. And Christ is trying to rule and reign His people. And we're like a wild donkey, just turning whatever way that we want to turn. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. That is point blank. That's what the scripture says. You're not to rule and reign with a whip and to be mean and brutal and everything like that. Because the husbands are told to love their wives as Jesus Christ loved the church. Okay? So first of all, we buck and we kick and we turn away and we want to do our own stubborn thing because we don't want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And secondly, we have a problem with authority. Look at today in the home. Parents have authority, and but with the children today. You go into a store and the children are dragging the parents around. You're going to do this. It's supposed to be the other way around. Ephesians also, children obey your parents in the Lord, but this is right, honor your mother and father. Problem with authority, husbands and wives, problem with parents and children, problem with divorce, Ephesians 6, verses 5 to 8. Bondservants, be obedient to your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men. You submit to authority because it's as unto the Lord. A wife submits to her husband. The husband loves his wife. The children submit to their parents. And we submit to those that are our bosses on the job. Those that are in authority. Also, ouch. We have a problem with authority in the church. We have a problem submitting to elders, to the deacons. Hebrews 13:7 tells us about that. But yet, the scripture tells us. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I mean, we're living in an age of absolutely no authority at all. Don't want to submit to the cops, don't want to submit to older people, don't want to submit to bosses, husbands and wives and children. There's absolutely no, it's like a lawless society now. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. You can't tell Americans that. You are not your own. For you were bought at a price. You remember we were talking about the donkey was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? You and I, dead in sins and trespasses, we had it redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But we don't do that. The donkey had to be redeemed. He had to be released. We ain't got a problem with that. But he had to be ruled. And that's where most of us and the donkey part company. Because the donkey was submissive to Christ. And he brought glory to Christ. One more thing about authority. You show me someone who is not submissive to the authority figures that God has ordained, and I will show you someone who is not submissive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you took offense to anything that I just said in regards to authority, I guarantee you got a problem submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The question is for all of us today. Who is your master today? Is Christ on a donkey riding you? Or is it the other way around? Or if you are you running off? And we'll see what the donkey, how the donkey responds. Who's your master? Is it you? Can you honestly say that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? Amen. Many can say, oh, he's my Savior, but that Lord thing, I'm still kicking around, bucking around. Rather than a donkey, you're kind of like a wild stallion out in the plains of the Dakotas. The submissive donkey in our text. Just that very word today, you say submissive? But I'm doing my own thing. I'm living out, I'm bringing out who I really am. The Bible is totally opposed to what we see around us, brothers and sisters. You must remember, I just read to you in Corinthians, Christ owns us completely. Now you can have this room, you can have that room in my house, Lord, but these compartments over here, those are mine. We don't have the right to use any part of our being. No part of our being, whether it is our body, our spirit, or our mind, for our own purposes. You are no longer your own. We're his and his only. And he has the right to tell us how that we should live our lives. And I know that right now people are hearing this going, I don't want to hear it. Is this guy almost done? But I do have good news for you. If you're submitting yourself to any other master, Jesus can and he will help you to change your allegiances. One of the most amazing statements in the Bible is found in Mark 11:3. Absolutely amazing. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. Can you not see how profound that is? The Lord has need of it. When did God Almighty ever need anything? The Lord has need of it. What a privilege that the Lord would say, I have need of you. I have need of you to use you for my purposes, to bring glory to my name. That's why I read to you in Ephesians, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of you. And I know people go way overboard with that. Like somehow God is needy. Don't read it into something that I'm not saying. I'm just trying to tell you how blessed you are to submit to Him. The Lord has need of it. Let's look at Christ's everything life. He owned all things to show you the submissiveness of the Master. He owned all things, yet He possessed nothing. He made everything, yet He borrowed a boat. He created water, yet said, I thirst. He was rich, yet made Himself poor, so that we may enjoy His riches. Being a little donkey isn't so bad when Christ is your master. Because look at what this donkey did. This donkey that was prophesied in Zechariah 9. A donkey prophesied about. He got to carry the King of Glory into Jerusalem. This unknown donkey, a seaman, nothing, got to carry the King of Glory into Jerusalem. The Lord used him as the vehicle to get glory for His name. Do you not understand that that's what He wants to do with you and I? With you and me, however you want to phrase it. We're to yield to Him so that He would rule us as He sees fit. And realize this, when that donkey walked by the crowd with Jesus Christ on his back, nobody saw the donkey. Everybody that submits today to the Lordship of Christ, they want some glory somehow, somewhere. They were laying out the palm leaves, singing Hosanna to God in the highest. Nobody was paying attention to the donkey. You get the point? You're not that important. But yet the Lord has need of you, that He would ride you into glory. Glory in the life of your neighbor, your co-workers, your spouse, your children. That you would be the vehicle that He would use for His glory. And He became a man. He didn't become a donkey. He became a man. There's a dignity to humanity. The scripture says we're born in the image of God. And now He uses simple donkeys to bring glory to His name. And you know I'm saying donkey as far as human beings. Riding us for His glory. Do you not understand that that's the chief end of man? To bring glory to God. Look at Psalm 72. This world, brothers and sisters, is not a little playground for us to enjoy ourselves. Psalm 72, 19. That donkey didn't say to Christ, well, let me go. I want to go over to the playground for a while. Psalm 72, 19. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. the whole earth to be filled with His glory. All of life is about the glory of God. Look at 104:31. But we live our lives for our own glory. 104:31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. You're one of those works, brothers and sisters. I mentioned to you in Ephesians 2:10, it says that we're His masterpiece. Having been saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now you're His masterpiece. Used for His glory and used for His purposes, just like that donkey was used. How much more men and women that are made in the image of God? Psalm 148:3. Matter of fact, let me start at verse 1. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise Him all ye angels, praise Him all ye souls, praise Him sun and moon, praise Him all ye stars of light, praise Him you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. And it goes on to praise the Lord from the earth, the sea creatures, fire, hail, snow, storm, stormy wind, mountains, fruitful trees, beasts, creeping things, kings of the earth, all people, princes, judges, young men, old men, children, maidens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven.
Amen.
His glory. And that donkey was used to praise the Lord, just like I just read you right there. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea creatures, you beasts and all cattle. And how much more? Men and women that are made in the image of Jesus Christ should be used for His glory. In closing, let us read Mark 11, verses 9 and 10. The colt was used, he was redeemed, he was released, and he was ruled. And one little side note, when the conquering king used to take over a country, take over a town, he would come in on the white stallion. But Christ came in His humiliation and He rode the donkey, the creature of peace. Mark 11, verses 9 and 10. Then those who went before him, and those who followed cried out, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That prophecy spoken of by Zechariah in 9:9 was fulfilled that day. Every word that Christ has ever spoken will be fulfilled. Every word that every prophet in the scripture has ever predicted, that has ever prophesied, everything that every apostle has ever written will come to its completion. Christ will come back even as He came to Jerusalem on that day that was decreed by Almighty God, on that donkey that was decreed by Almighty God. And we've been called, each and every one of us, because we're part of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people separated for His purposes, that He would ride you into glory. I don't know a higher honor given amongst men, that He would ride you into glory. And Father, we thank You that even though men and women, boys and girls, have broke Your commands from day one, Yet there's still something, even in the loss, still something of the image of God left in each and every human being. How much more the children of God that have been redeemed, that have been released. And Father, we pray that you would do whatever is necessary in our lives, that you would rule over us, that we would submit to your Lordship, Father, for it is a constant battle. Amen. It doesn't matter 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We still carry around this body of death, even though we're regenerated, and we still kick and buck and fight against your will. Father, we pray that we would submit to your will, that we would prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of yours. For your will is to glorify your Son. And he glorifies you in return. Father, we pray that you would empower us. For we have been redeemed. We have been released from the power of sin. And Father, I pray that we would bow to your Lordship. And we would realize that at best we're just a donkey. It ain't about us. It's about Christ riding us. Christ getting the glory, not us. We always want the glory in some way, shape, or form. Something about I did something. I sinned against you. That's what I did, Lord. That's my claim to fame. I sinned against you. But you redeemed me. Even as you redeemed that donkey by the blood of the Lamb, you redeemed men and women with your own precious blood. And Father, I pray that you would grab a hold of each and every one of us, and that we would live our lives for your glory. Amen.